الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. صلوات. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Says to his daughter Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha. Every eye shall weep, every eye shall tear on the day of judgment, except the eye that tears and weeps for the atrocities of Hussein ibn Ali, for that I shall be given glad tidings of Jannah. As we have been gathering here for the past 3 nights to commemorate the martyrdom of the master of all martyrs, we find that in him we get a lot of examples. We find that he gave away his life and that of his dear ones just to save Islam and just so that we can reach the peak of the essence of Islam. The Holy Quran mentions the reason of sending the Prophet, and the Prophet himself says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to you so that I would make you reach to the peak of akhlaq. As I mentioned yesterday, that as Muslims we ought to and we must take examples from the Holy Quran and the ahadith of the prophets and the a'imma salamullahi alayhi majma'in. In order for us to reach the perfection that Allah wants us to reach. For the Holy Quran is a book in which each and every way of life is mentioned. It is not only a book of stories, as I mentioned yesterday, but it is a book in which even science can be found, even mathematics can be found, even geography can be found, even biology can be found. And it is a book in which the faith and the love of Allah also can be found. As Muslims, we are plenty. Today, we can safely say that the United Kingdom has been invaded by Muslims, and that Muslims are increasing in numbers day by day. I was reading an article, and even someone told me today that the name Muhammad is becoming a very popular name in Britain. So as far as Muslims are concerned, there are plenty of Muslims in this world, there are plenty of Muslims in this universe. But numbers are numbers. Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhi Majma'in. And the lovers of this holy people are few. But if we see numbers, then we also see that those who were in the Ark of Noah were few than those who were outside the Ark of Noah. So let the numbers not deceive us and decept and give us a wrong type of a concept, that if the majority of the people follow this particular madhab or this particular way of life, that means we are going wrong somewhere. It's not so. The Holy Quran mentions the examples of the Holy Prophet, not just for stories, but for us to follow, for us to derive guidance. Janab Ibrahim had a son called Ismail, and we heard very briefly yesterday how he raised his son Ismail. And we also learned about Janab Nuh and his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدْ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. When anybody of those times in the Arab nation, when anybody of them was given a glad tiding of a daughter being born in the house, his face used to change, he used to get angry. يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. He used to walk in the nation with shame in his face. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Should he hold the girl in his hands with shame, or should he bury the girl because of the shame? عَلَى سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. What was the matter with these ignorant people that they used to bury their daughters alive? Today's fathers are no different. Today's fathers are no different. If those fathers buried the daughters physically, today the fathers are murdering and burying the feelings of the daughters. For they do not want to respect the individual choice of a daughter. During those days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it befitting to send Janab Fatimah Zahra Salamullahi alayha to the house of the Holy Prophet, just to make me and you realize that what is a daughter is a daughter. The Prophet says, Fatimatun Fatimatu Rayhanatun min Rayahin al Jannah, kullu ma ashtaqu ila al Jannah ashummu. That whenever Fatima is a flower from the flowers of heaven, the Prophet said, whenever I felt like smelling, or whenever I felt like going to heaven, I used to smell Fatima sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, our children are seen as problems. Our children are seen as hopeless. Our children are seen as in a crisis. Whereas Islam tells us, no, these children are the future for tomorrow. They are the hope. They have got dynamism. They have got iman. The only thing is we have to nurture them to the right way. We have to give them the right faith that Allah wants us to give. The way Ibrahim brought up Ismail, nurturing him with faith, making him realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one whom we should worship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one whom we should seek help from. This is the way that we need to nurture our faith and our children today as well. For there will come a time when we die, our children will not even recite Fatiha for us, simply because of the lack of education, Islamic education, that our children are not getting. Because either there is a problem in the house, there is a problem in the community, there is a problem in the society. And when a child doesn't find love in the house, he tends to go outside and look for friends who may be corrupt and evil, and in turn make the child corrupt and evil. Because a child longs for companionship, longs for love, longs for understanding. Whereas we have been given the holy book, the A'imma Salamullahi Alayhim, to follow, not to keep them, not to just look at them, not to just cry on them. This is one thing. But the other is to derive guidance from these holy people. When a child goes outside the house because he is not getting enough love or attention from the house, he goes and seeks companionship somewhere else. And we find that a child is not mature yet, like the father is or the mother is. He's not. Whenever a girl goes outside of the community, whenever she walks out, glances of doubt look at her. Why? Why should we immediately start doubting on a girl talking to a boy in the street? Why should we? Are we scared that did we not nurture the girl the way we are supposed to nurture the girl? Is it so? This is a wrong attitude. The thing is that the faith is a barrier to temptation. Faith. And we will see the example inshallah ta'ala. Iman is the barrier to temptation, all sorts of temptation. One of the vices that we find in families and in communities and in societies is anger, for example. Ego. Even if a parent is wrong, it will be very difficult for the parent to say sorry to a child. Because of the ego, nothing else. Where did this child come from? I never brought him from anywhere. It is my own flesh and blood. It is the thing that has been growing in the womb of my wife. And today, I treat it as if it was something else. We are at loggerheads with each other. Why? Faith is missing. Iman is missing. Not Islam. As I said, Muslims are numerous in numbers. Numerous. There is a clear distinction between Iman and Islam. Everyone who says La ilaha illallah is a Muslim. But everyone who believes in La ilaha illallah is a mu'min. And furthermore, everyone who believes in the actions of La ilaha illallah is a muttaqi, i.e. to refrain from all that is haram and to do all that is wajib. That is a muttaqi. Al-ghadabu miftahu kulli shar. Anger is the key to every evil deed. When you see two people fighting and you see the third one clapping, you should call him shaitan. Because he is instigating them to fight more and more. Instead of going there and telling them, what are you people doing? He makes them fight. When you see a person getting angry, why should he get angry? An analogy here. If you are right, then truth shall prevail. And if you are wrong, you have no right of getting angry. no right of getting angry at all. Let the truth prevail. Instead of making my child understand with love, humbleness, I treat him the way I treat an enemy. And then I get calls, my child has a clear problem. He wants to leave the house. He's a runaway. He's a goner. He's a this and he's a that. Keep him in the house. Keep him in the madrasa. He will learn Islam there. Why should he learn it there? Is it missing at home? Is Islam missing at home that he should come into the madrasa and learn Islam? The faith is the temptation, is the barrier to temptation. If we have faith, so our children have faith. If we don't have faith, our children will not have faith. If we do haram things, our children will do haram things. If we do things which are wajib, our children will do things which are wajib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has clearly stated. He has stated, for 7 years, leave the child. He is your king or your queen. Leave the child alone. From 7 onwards to 14, train the child, but with love. Things are still not wajib upon him, brothers, sisters. Things are still not wajib upon him. Why do you force him to fast? You see, you force him to fast. Don't force him to fast. If he wants to fast, if he wants to break his fast at 12 in the afternoon, tell him, well done, son, you have fasted today. But instead of that, you will see parents taking the son for a ride, thinking that, no, we have to give him some kind of a... Fine, it's good if he can take it. If he can't, let him break it. If he cannot wake up in the morning to pray, don't force him. Yes, if he denies, then there is a little discipline without harshness though, that you have to do, to practice, to give him, to bring him to the world that he is going to come after 14. And remember, the Prophet has said that after 14, this boy or this girl is either going to be your enemy or your friend. Now that entirely depends upon the father or the mother. It doesn't depend on the society. If it depends on the society, then it is the house that has pushed him to the society. Now, when the son is an enemy, then he's an enemy. And if a son is a friend, then he's a friend. And he's a wazir. He's the right hand of the father because of the upbringing. When Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi alayhi, asked Aqil after the death of Fatima al-Zahra that I want to marry someone who would give me a son who would save and who would be with Hussein in Karbala, there was an intention that Imam Ali had. What intention did he have? That he would bring him up so much so bravely that he would go and protect Hussein ibn Ali on his behalf. That means he had an intention. Thus, we should have an intention as well of upbringing our children the way we want Islam, the way Muslims, the way Allah wants us to bring the child up. Now, in the Holy Quran, we find the story of Janabi Yusuf. This is an example which should jolt our minds, by the way, because it is an example of faith and an example which has stopped him to all temptations just because of faith. Janabi Yusuf, if we study him in the Holy Quran, we find that he was a boy, a young boy, who was very much loved by his father, Yaqub. Very much loved. Why was he loved? Because of his godliness. Because Yaqub taught him to be faithful, he was faithful. Because of his godliness, he was obedient to Yaqub, he was loved. He was reared by Yaqub, he was taught by Yaqub about faith, he was loved. We find that he was once taken by his brothers because of envy and jealousy. And they went to Yaqub and they said, "Oh father, why don't you let Yusuf come with us to the jungles to play?" So the father says, "I'm scared, my dear children, that the fox will eat him." So the brothers say, "How can that be possible? We are so many and strong. How can it be possible that the fox is going to eat Yusuf when we are going to be there?" So the father knew Yaqub was a prophet after all. He said, "Okay, take my child, no problem. Allah is all-seeing and all-knowing." They took Yusuf. They were playing football or whatever. And one of them said, "Kill him." Because of jealousy, yeah? This is another evil trait that exists in the community, in the society, everywhere in the world. Because of jealousy, one of the brothers said, "Kill him." The other was a little kind-hearted and said, no, don't kill him, throw him in the ditch somewhere." So they decided that and they went and threw him in the well. And they went to the father in the evening, and the story is quite long and very interesting though. If you read Surah Yusuf, you'll see. They went to the father in the evening taking a shirt of Janabi Yusuf stained with blood of a sheep, and they go to Janabi Yaqub and says, "The son, your fox has eaten the child. Has eaten." I said, "Well, I knew. I was scared of giving Yusuf to you because of the same reason." And he cried, and he cried, and he cried for many, many, many years because he was missing Yusuf. However, Yusuf, a very young boy, was in the well, and suddenly a caravan passes by. They take this boy out of the well, and they say, "Wow, we've got a beautiful young lad, and we have to take him where we are going, and we will sell him, we'll fetch a little money." So they decide to take him all the way to Egypt. They go to Egypt and they put him on the market. He was a very, very handsome young boy. The Aziz bought Yusuf and he brought him home. And he tells his wife, "This is a slave. He's going to be like our child. Take care of him. He's a very good looking boy." Now just imagine the circumstances, brothers and sisters. We are spoiled for choice here in this world today. What a youth or what a person wants to do can do it so freely. There is choice, options are open, choices are open. He wants to walk with 10 women, he will do it. He wants to do anything, he will do it. But for Yusuf, he was a slave in the house of an Aziz, wasn't he? He was a slave. He had no options. He had no choice. The wife of the Aziz suddenly started eyeing him because of his beauty, naturally. Not all women, but women are shaitans, by the way. Not all women. Let me stress this because then I don't want to create any problems here. But women are shaitans. They are. This woman, who is a married woman to the Aziz, started eyeing Yusuf because of his beauty. Subhanallah. What happens? She seduces Yusuf. She starts seducing Yusuf, and Yusuf says, "Keep away from me." But after all, Yusuf was a slave, wasn't he? He was a slave. Suddenly one day, she decides, she says, "Today is today. I'm going to get this boy, whatever come may." She has a little house there. She goes, she tells her servants to beautify the room, to put silk, velvet, this, that, whatever, candles with aroma, fragrance, whatever. And there are 7 doors to the house. That house is called Bayt al-Surur. She names it as Bayt al-Surur, the house of happiness. Just imagine the circumstances Yusuf is in and what has stopped him to go deep into it. She tells the servant, "Go, tell Yusuf I'm waiting in this room, I want to talk to him." Yusuf is told, "Miss is waiting for you, can you please go?" So he goes. He has to obey the command. He goes inside the house, he goes inside the room, he enters the door and she slams the door from behind. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She closes the door from behind and she says, "Yusuf, I am yours. A slave in the house of the master. a woman attracting Yusuf, and Yusuf looking at that thing saying, no, I have a Lord who is seeing this. I have a Lord who is seeing this all. So she has a God there, she covers the God. The God is covered. She said, okay, my Lord doesn't see. He says, your Lord doesn't see, my Lord does. My Lord does. And there's an ayah in the Holy Quran which says, لَوْلَا أَنْ رَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. If Yusuf would not have seen the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have also longed for her. He would have. Infallibility doesn't mean that there is no enticement in oneself. Infallibility doesn't mean that there is no feeling inside oneself. After all, the Holy Prophet loves women, he loves perfume, and he loves good deeds, doesn't he? So infallibility doesn't mean that he did not have any sort of a likening towards these things. But if he would not have seen the sign and clear sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have fallen into the trap. He runs away from the house. And the ladies in the town start talking about this issue, and they said, look at this wife of the Aziz. She is seducing a young boy who is a slave in the house. She is seducing. So she hears this and she's very disturbed by this thing. Of course she would be. So she decides to invite these women at home. She says, you know, you have not seen what I have seen. So why don't you people come as well and see what I have seen? So they all come. They are given an apple and a knife in their hands. And suddenly the door is left open and Yusuf walks straight in. When Yusuf goes in, the women are cutting the apples and they are cutting their fingers without even knowing that they are cutting their fingers. Why? Because of the beauty of Yusuf, which mesmerized them. Basharun Kareem, they said, this is an angel here. So the wife says, yes, now you are laughing at yourselves. I am laughing at you the way you're laughing at me. This is what made me go into him. But the question here is this. What stopped Yusuf to do what anybody of us would have done? What is the thing that stopped Yusuf, who was in problems literally? He was not with his dad, he was not in his family, he was a slave, he had gone through a lot of trials and problems in life, and he was in Egypt, in a new land, he was a slave. What stopped him? It was faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. It was faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that stopped Yusuf to go any further. And that is why it is said that this faith is a barrier to temptation. Now when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah Aliun Waliullah alayhim as-salam, we should mean it with our hearts, not only our tongues. And we should nurture and we should pass this on to our children so that when they grow up and when they face such circumstances, they would follow the example of Yusuf. They would follow the example of Yusuf. For the greatness is to live in the surrounding of evils and to be intact. That is greatness. As I was saying today, that a person says, I am 60 years old, alhamdulillah, and I have not committed a traffic offense. So you say, MashaAllah, that's fantastic, and how could you do that? And he says, because I have not never driven in my life. So there is no greatness in there, is there? The greatness is in, if you have a license by the age of 21 and when you are 60 you have not even got one point, neither have you oversped even once, neither have you been given a ticket on double yellow line. That is greatness. If we are living in the surroundings of all vices, if we live amongst the shayateens, if we live amongst all these things which are pulling us towards them, and we are still intact, that is because of the faith that we have in Allah and the Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhi wa jma'in. And it was this very faith in Allah and in the Ahlul Bayt that made this young couple, this young man by the name of Wahab, give his life away in the way of Islam. This newlywed, Wahab and his wife and his mother called Qamar, were in a village called Sa'alawiyah. They heard, and some of them say they were Christians, some historians say they were Christians, they had just converted into Islam in the hands of Imam Hussein in Karbala. Some of them say no, they were Muslims from very long time ago. Whatever the reason, whatever they were, 10 days newly wedded people, they come to Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. And he suddenly asks, what's happening here? Why is this camp tent, the tents here, camped here? So one of them says, this is the camp and the tent of Hussein ibn Ali, who has been called here by deceit to be murdered by Yazid. They want him to pay allegiance to Yazid and he will not do it. So he goes and informs his mother, Qamar. The moment his mother heard that Imam Hussein is here, she tells her son, son, if you are my son, then you will give your life away to this man. For he is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. He is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. On the night of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam gathers all his companions. He gathered all his companions in a tent. He called them and he said, look, Yazid is after my blood. Abbas was there. Habib ibn Madahir was there. Burayr Hamadani was there. John was there. He called them all. He said, Yazid is thirsty for my blood. If anybody of you would like to leave, please go. I will not mind at all. In fact, if you are embarrassed of going, I'll switch off the candle. Go. And he switched the candle off. When he saw no movement, he lit the candle again. And he saw all his companions, head bowed down, tears rolling down their cheeks. Oh Hussein, is this what you're asking for us to do? When we give our lives to you, it's not going to be enough. And if we don't give our lives to you, what are we going to say to the Holy Prophet on the Day of Judgment? Amongst the Sahabis was a Sahabi called John, who was a black guy, he was a black man. He goes to Hussein ibn Ali and says to Hussein, Ya Hussein, people say that because I am black, my blood is black as well. And I want to prove it to you that even black blood can be helpful to the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please give me the permission to go and fight and save you and do something for you. Imam was very moved, very much moved by this. And he said, yes, John, on the day of Ashura, he sent John. And John fought very gallantly and he was martyred by the people of Yazid. The turn of Wahab came. Wahab came to the Holy Prophet and said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, give me the permission to go to the battlefield. Imam says, and a newlywed couple will understand what I'm saying. Imam says, because you are newly wed, go and seek permission from your wife and your mother. Wahab goes to his mother and says, oh mother, give me the permission. The mother said, I am the one who was telling you to go and give away your life to Hussein. He goes to his wife, a newly wed wife, 23 years of age he was. He goes to his wife and says, oh wife, give me the permission to go and lay my life down to Hussein ibn Ali. And the wife says, tears in her eyes, Wahab, what am I supposed to do without you? How will I live and survive without you? I've just buried you. Wahab says, yes, but I have to go and give my life in the way of Islam. The wife says, fine, take me to Hussein for one. Take me to Hussein, I want to talk to him. Wahab takes the wife to Hussein. And the wife says, I have no problem in sending Wahab to the battlefield, but there are conditions that I have. One of the conditions is that when he is killed and martyred, Can you please tell your women folk to keep me with them in case these people brutalize us? She didn't know that Zainab is going to suffer the same atrocities. She didn't know that. And the second condition, she said, is that when Wahab dies and when he goes to heaven, make sure he waits for me to go to heaven as well. Imam Hussein was very moved by this. He said, yes, I will. I promise you these two things. And he sent Wahab to the battlefield. Wahab went and he fought and he died. Of course. The people over there, the brutal people, took him, they chopped his head and they threw it towards the campus of Hussein. The mother came running out and so did the wife. The mother picked up the head and kept it and kissed it and then threw it back as if to say that what we give in the way of Hussein, we don't take back. And the wife takes the head and keeps it there, and Shimr Dhil Jawshan La'natullahi Alayhi comes and hits the woman so hard that even she dies. And thus, they go and meet in paradise. Azizane Girami, ye koi ahsan marhala nahi hai Hussein ke par. حسین کے اوپر یہ کوئی احسان مرحلہ نہیں ہے. شب عاشور جب سب صحابیوں کو جمع کیا اور صحابیوں سے فرمایا, سنو, یزید کو میرے خون, یزید میرے خون کا پیاسا ہے. آپ لوگوں کو جس میں سے جس لوگوں کو چاہیے جانے کے لیے چلے جائیے, یزید میرے خون کا پیاسا ہے. اگر آپ لوگوں کو شرم آتی ہے تو میں موم بتی بجھائے دیتا ہوں, آپ لوگ چلے جائیے. جب چراغ بجھا دیا, دیکھا کوئی ہٹتا نہیں ہے, پھر چراغ جلایا, سب کے سب کہنے لگے, یبنا رسول اللہ, آپ چاہتے ہیں ہم آپ کو چھوڑ کے چلے جائیں؟ رسول خدا کو کیا جواب دیں گے قیامت کے دن, کیا جواب دیں گے؟ ان میں سے ایک صحابی بنام جون کے امام حسین کے پاس آ کے کہنے لگایا, امام حسین, لوگ کہتے ہیں کہ میں کالا ہوں تو میرا خون بھی کالا ہے. اے حسین, کیا کالا خون آپ کی مدد نہیں کر سکتا؟ حسین ابن علی نے اجازت دی جون کو کہ جاؤ جون, جاؤ لڑو. جون جا کے لڑے اور شہید ہو گئے. ایک لڑکا, ایک صحابی وہب کر کے تھا, جو 10 دن ہوئے تھے جس نے شادی کی تھی, صرف 10 دن ہوئے تھے, امام کے پاس آ کے کہنے لگا, امام اجازت دیجئے کہ میں بھی مقتل کی طرف جاؤں. امام نے کہا, وہب دوں گا, مگر اس سے پہلے کہ میں اجازت دوں, جاؤ اپنی زوجہ سے اور اپنی ماں سے اجازت لے لو. جب اپنی ماں کے پاس گئے, ماں نے اجازت دے دی. زوجہ کے پاس جب گئے تو زوجہ نے کہا, حسین ابن علی پاس لے چلو مجھے. جب حسین کے پاس لے گئے زوجہ کو, تو زوجہ نے کہا, حسین, وہب کو بھیج دیجئے مقتل میں, مگر کچھ شرطیں ہیں میری. ایک شرط یہ ہے کہ جب وہب شہید ہو جائے تو مجھے آپ کی عورتوں میں شامل کر دیجئے گا, کیونکہ آپ کی عورتوں میں مظالم نہیں ڈھائیں گے. کیا پتا تھا وہب کی عورت کو کہ زینب کی بھی چادر چھین جائے گی, زینب کو بھی کوڑے ماریں گے, سکینہ کے بھی گوشت وارے چھینے جائیں گے. ماتم حسین,